What about that second question? What stresses and pressures contributed to your feelings of frustration with the way things were? Maybe to put it back to where I kind of opened our discussion, where did you think this young lady, this 24-year-old, was on our in her own journey? Now, she didn't talk about God much in her way of expressing herself, but in her journey, did you think that she was in Egypt, in tent living, or was she in the temple with the way her life was going in the midst of these tragedies?
Oh,
in Egypt, she was in tw more in the tent dwelling, I think.
Oh, Joan thinks she's in the tent. Yep.
I actually think a lot of us were in temple living before 2020 came along. Life was good, things were going along, plans were being made, vacation plans, and everything came to a stop.
Yeah. All right. So what do we think about that? We were amen to that. Yeah. So what?
Yes.
So why would God switch things up? I'm not saying God caused a pandemic. Now there's some teachers would say, "Oh, God, I'm not saying that by what I'm saying here." But what I am saying is, God certainly is doing something here. Why would God want to shift us from comfy in the temple to tent living? What would be, purposeful in that?
To escape complacency, perhaps.
Yeah.
Actually,
When you think about it, go
go
ahead,
ahead.
Oscar.
Well, I was going to say to reach more people, I can't help but think about Max Lucado telling us back in March, I think, maybe he was, when this was coming along, he said there's going to be a different way we get the message out, the gospel out to the people. Well, I think that's true because if you take a look at pastors' services that he's been putting on Facebook, we're hitting around 300 people, excuse me, and we normally would be worshiping about 140. So even though it's uncomfortable, it's surely a challenge, and I think that the word is getting out to more people globally, actually. I think pastors told me that some of those people that are watching Facebook are obviously not all our members, or not just in Oregon, but they're from other states and what have you. So that's my thought.
I think about what Ruth was talking about, and that I think church and Sunday school, two things that we had on our list every week. We're going to do these two things along with 150 other things. And that's our week. And now, church and worship service and Bible study and opportunities like this are a lot more special and a lot more set apart in their uniqueness. Actually find myself getting excited, to do this because, everything else is so distant and so impersonal. And so I think it elevated the occurrence of our worship opportunity and our study opportunity and our fellowship opportunity through Christ to another a whole nother level. Put it on turbocharge is the way I look at it.
I'll just share, I'm very optimistic about peace. I'll share that with all of you. I think that the old metrics of church attendance and all those things, it's kind of hard to really tell what that means right now because people are kind of, they're being safe, which is good. Even when we come back in person down the road after the vaccine, I still think we're going to be a little, we're going to miss some people. There might be some people that are usually here that aren't. But I actually think there's going to be the people that were on the fringes that were like, I mean, I kind of like religion. I mean, that church is kind of nice, but man, I just can't get myself to go through the door. I think some of those people are going to be showing up to our church. And so I actually think I'm very optimistic for a very exciting time down the road. I think what God's doing now is very much so training us in tent living for that time down the road. When we're going to be interacting with some people that might have questions like, you have your children stay and worship during the worship service? That's so weird. In other words, we're going to be rubbing elbows with people that are going to be asking very simple questions like, you stay married to your wife all the way through to the, who does that? You know, it's going to be these very, it sounds very rudimentary, but those are going to be some of the questions that many people are wrestling with. They're very simple existential questions that the church is going to be in a good position to help and not, you know, not judge, but help and support. Anyway, thoughts on that?
Yeah. Do I understand that you will keep the online services going after we get back in to regular service?
We will.
Mm-hmm. I think that will, these 300 people, who a lot of out-of-staters, I think it will keep a lot of people in touch with the church, even if they still can't come. Because the online service is very appealing to an awful lot of people who can't get there or don't want to. Yeah.
It's very similar to really to what we found in government. We're reaching people with city meetings that have disabilities that actually prevent them from being able to go to public meetings. And now you're reaching those people, and you need to keep reaching those people. It's a little like I always say, once you go an extra step in outreach, you can never go back because people want it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think it also has pointed out to us a little bit what our, that, you know, you hear a lot about privilege these days in a lot of different contexts. The privilege that I think we enjoy, especially attending in-person church before the pandemic, was so overwhelming that it became, like I said, something that we didn't even consider a privilege anymore. And I think that the idea of privilege will return as we walk through the doors to be able to worship together. But I think it also makes us mindful of those who still can't participate in that way, that they are now, people are going to remain the way we are now. And so how do we serve them? And how do we continue to provide an opportunity for them as we then are able to return to some of that privilege? I think that that's been a great way to point that out.
Yeah. What one thought too, to piggyback on that, is how important it's going to be is once we get back to comfy, once we get back there, how important it's going to be to still act like we're living in a tent when we're getting back to comfy. I think that's going to be crucial for the mission of the church.
I think we'll be surprised at how quickly we forget.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It always happens that way.
So